There's a fundamental need, I think, and I'm not the only one because I read a lot about it, so some of these psychologists in the world agree with me, that people have to feel secure. Would you agree with that? And, you know, there's a lot of different areas when you say feel secure. I think of a time in my life, I do a lot of self-reflect. When I drive, you know, an hour every day to work, and then, well, if it rains, it's an hour and a half. If it doesn't rain, it's an hour. And I do a lot of self-reflection and thinking about things unless people call me. And so I think about things in my life that, you know, wow, you know, you ever think, well, if I had done this different or that different, you know, what would have happened? You know, did I make the right decisions? You know, that's just me. I like to really analyze things over. And I think of the other day when I read about the topic for the class I'm supposed to teach, I was thinking about the other day of a time when I felt probably as least secure in my life than I've ever felt. And still a pretty young guy. I was working. I just switched. You know, when I started my career, I worked for an accounting firm that Bill Ingram and Jeff Leslie were partners in. And I had just recently left their firm and had gone to work for one of the, you know, the national accounting firms, KPMG. And I'd done pretty good. You know, I'd gotten a couple quick promotions, and I'd been put on the largest account in the office. That was pretty cool. Big sugar company that's headquartered here in South Florida. You guys can figure out who that is real fast. And I did all the tax work for them. And it was huge client. I mean, it was the year that I was on it, it was the largest tax fee client for our firm in the entire southeast of the United States. Huge. I was doing pretty good, you know. I mean, that's a pretty good honor. And then one day I noticed that guy I worked for was a man named Rick Cordone. He was a partner. And one day I noticed that, you know, and Rick loved me, I guess, because I was on that account. And, you know, we used to golf. I mean, literally, he took me golfing twice a week. It's a great job, you know. He's like, we're going golfing. I'm like, okay. I mean, your boss says you're going golfing. What do? You go golfing, right? So one day I noticed he stopped coming by the office and saying, hey, Gary, what's going on? Let's go to lunch. He stopped asking me lunch. And for about 2 weeks, I didn't know what was going on. So finally, you know, I still, like I said, a pretty young guy, walk in and say, Rick, what's going on? And Rick's like, well, they've asked you, and they being the client, have asked for you to be taken off this account. And this was, I had like three accounts, and this was 65, 70% of my job was this one account. And they said, we've asked you, the client has asked for you to be taken off this account, and we don't know what we're going to do with you. That's pretty tough to hear, right? I mean, have you ever had that trouble with your job where you just didn't know for sure? It is an awful, awful feeling. I mean, I didn't sleep. I started pouring through job ads and everything. You know, I didn't know if that was what we call a CLM. That's a career-limiting move. I didn't know if I was done. Man, I was sick. Now, I've looked back, and I know what I've done wrong. And we'll actually talk about that later on. But it was a tough time, and I was so insecure with my life at that moment, and it was awful. And I've got to believe that that's not just my emotion. That's an emotion a lot of people deal with in life, is a lack of security. There's a guy named Abraham Maslow. Have you ever heard of him? He has this thing called a hierarchy of needs. I have a picture of it. Look. Can you see that? Here's my PowerPoint presentation for the day. Yeah, Abraham Maslow, and I don't agree with everything the man says, but one of his deals was he kind of broke down humans' basic needs, and you know, we're not going to go through all of them, but I'm just going to show you this, and I know you can't see it that well, but you can get the idea because of the colors. See this kind of orange color at the bottom? That's basic human needs, like food. Okay. So the first basic human need is the need for food, water, sleep, other bodily functions. That's all down there, okay? You've got to live. You know what's in the second line? The need to be secure. So when I say, you know, it's not, when you're worried about that, you're talking about a very base human need. And I actually, you know, I've looked at this, and it's funny, as you go through your life and you get different points of your life. You know, when you're young, you think it's all about having the great job. And as you get a little bit older, you all think it's about, you know, the family. And you get older, it's about comfort of life. And then it's about experiences. You kind of find yourself transitioning. If you were to read this, if you could see this, you would see that you're transitioning through this hierarchy of needs. But down at the very base is this need to feel secure. And it's just, it's a fundamental core need of humans. So what does that have to do with being a Christian? Everything? That's a great answer. Well, that's like one of those, that's a great answer. That's one of those great cop-out answers. Like if you're at church and they say, what do you should do? And you go, you should be a Christian. That's always a good one. But it is. You're right. It's everything because it's the base of who we are. It's a need we have. So let's be a little bit more specific. What does security of being a Christian mean? What does it have to do with our life? John. Yeah, that's good. Good, John. If you're not secure, if something happens, you're not gonna hit it. It's like a shiny new toy. You know, hopefully the shine doesn't wear off. I almost called you Chuck, but that's not your name. Your name's Steve. Steven. Who looks like he's losing weight even though he tells me he's not actually losing pounds. Yeah. And that's, we're actually going to go a little bit further down that, because I think that's a little bit in the area I want to go, but that's true. I mean, there's that human need to feel secure, and you've got to be able to pass through that to move on. Let me give you, I'm going to push you down a path here. So let me talk about a specific type of person and how they move forward in life, and then I'm going to relate that to being secure as a Christian, okay? How many of you know the word entrepreneur? I am not, nor will I ever be, an entrepreneur. I need a paycheck, okay? How many of you with me? All right. I would say, and not everyone raise your hand, but I would say in this auditorium, if we're not 85 to 90% non-entrepreneurs, I'd be shocked. How many of you say, hey, that's a great idea, I'm going to invest everything I got and open a business? There's one or two of you in here like that. There's like, I'm gone. I mean, I'm in there. Okay? I'm not you guys. Can't handle that. You know why? Man, Jackie pointed at her like, because you're not doing that to me. Because my need to feel secure would paralyze me if I became an entrepreneur. You know what I mean? How am I going to pay my mortgage? How am I going to feed my family? How am I? I would be paralyzed because of my lack of security. These guys, and you know, in my job, I meet with people who got these businesses, and I say to myself all the time, that guy is stupid. How did he make $1 million? And I promise you, I say that at least once a week. And I'm not trying to be mean, but they, you know why? Because he's got a different need for security than I do. I have great ideas all the time. And I'm like, we know when I get a great idea, you know what I say? Someone should do that. Right? Someone. Not me. Because I'm not taking the risk. Right? And those of you who do that stuff, more power to you. Entrepreneurs say, great idea, let me go do it. Okay. If you're not secure as a Christian, think about that. What do you need? If you're not secure as a Christian, what is it going to do to you? My theory, my hypothesis, there's a word. There's a fancy word that's going to say this. My belief is that if you're not secure as a Christian, it can paralyze you from living a Christian life. Because you come so focused on yourself and meeting your basic needs, which you need to do, that you don't do the things that Christianity wants you to do, that Christ has asked us to do in this world. If you're insecure about your own Christianity, all you can focus on, and it's important to focus on it, is your own Christianity. And you don't become a teacher. And you don't become a servant. And you don't become a doer. You're worried about yourself all the time. And I can relate that because I have that strong, deep need of sense to feel secure. That's why I'm not an entrepreneur. It's why I never will be one. So today's class, after 15 minutes, we're going to talk about the security of being a Christian. Because it's important for us, as we live our Christian's life, to know that we're secure. If I were to promise you today that I was going to give each of you $1 million when you left the worship service today, how many of you would really believe $1 million? Yeah, no, babe, no. Sorry. Maybe if Paraguayan guarinis, I could give you those, maybe. If Bill Gates was here and said he was going to give everyone $1 million, would you believe Bill Gates? Well, at least believe he had the capability to do it, right? Right. See, your sense of belief in something is only as good as a person promising it. And I want you, as we read these next verses, and we're going to spend a lot of time in Romans chapter 8 today, if you want to open it up there. As we read through some of this stuff, I want you to think about the strength of the person, since God, making the promise. Because I feel that we as Christians are secure in our faith. There's always conditions, and we'll talk about those, but we need to be secure. Let's talk about some of these things. I'd say we need to be secure as Christians because, first of all, God's power works for us. And I know I just made you all turn to Romans chapter 8, but how about we go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 real quick? But keep your finger at Romans chapter 8, all right? Because we'll go right back to Romans chapter 8. So Peter here is addressing his letter, and he gets down to verse 5, and he says, he's writing it to the Christians, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. There is security in being a Christian because we're protected by the power of God. When I mentioned the ability of someone to fulfill a promise, I want you to think about that. We're protected by the power of God. Now, there's a qualifier in there, right? Do you see the qualifier in the verse? Who sees it? What's the qualifier in that verse? I heard it. Someone say it louder.
Faith.
There's a qualifier in the verse. And I don't ever want to get past the qualifiers, or else we'll get to a bad conclusion. But Peter's saying that the group of people he's writing to, these Christians, are protected by the power of God. There's security in being a Christian because God's power works for us. There's no doubt, based upon the scripture, that He does there. We're also protected by the by. There's also security being a Christian. Now we're going to go back to Romans chapter 8, where we're going to spend most of the day. We're going to start in verse 1, and we're just going to look at a few of these verses and see what does Paul say here. Starting in verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And we're about to read some discussions between flesh and spirit. How would you have liked to live under the old law? You talk about a lack of security, if you want my opinion. How would you like to live under a law that it's... Oh, is ritualistic the right word? There's a lot of acts that you have to accomplish a lot of stuff. You got to do this on this day. You got to do that on that day. You got to do, you got to have this sacrifice, and you got to have this person who's of this caste do the sacrifice for you. And boy, what a lack of security. So the security, because we're beyond that. So let's read about it. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. There's security of being a Christian because we're set free from that law. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. Sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. There's security in being a Christian. Well, let me ask you. I don't want to read them all to you. What does that, when you read that verse, What comfort does that give you in being a Christian?
Salvation through Christ.
Yeah, but that's true. Yeah, through Christ. But listen, I mean, what's so amazing about that? You know, when you think about, I am a mass of blood and water or whatever we are down here, and I read that verse, and I'm like, man, that is something. And I'll tell you what it is, since it's in my mind and you may never get there. That God sent His Son into sinful flesh for us. Think about the sacrifices that people make in life. I'll get you just a second, Dirk. The sacrifices you make in life for your children, and I know not all of you have kids, but most of you do, I'd say. What sacrifices would you make for your children? What would you do? And the desire you have for your children to feel secure in their life. And when you hate to be a parent and have your kids worried all the time, and some of us have been there, you know, when we were worried. Here's a God who loves us so much that He sacrificed His Son for us. What does that say about the security we should feel in His love for us? Go ahead, Dirk. It's a reassurance of the. You don't feel secure unless you really have belief in what your security is laid up in. You know, I mean, lay up your treasures not in earth but in heaven. There's a reason that verse makes sense. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Tommy.
Well, that's what
okay.
That I
yeah. Isn't that a great... Don't you wish we could be like that as parents sometimes? That we could be so consistent and so honest all the time as parents and as employers or employees that people, we could say, yeah, test me, I'm always going to be the same person. And God, who knows He's all-powerful, God who knows He's going to keep His promises, says, you know, if you need to, you go ahead and test me and try me. And you're going to find out I'm solid. That I'm going to be there for you.
He doesn't condemn you for the things we've done.
Now think how quick we get mad when people doubt us. I mean, seriously, guys. You say something and someone just, oh no, you're wrong. You know, think how quick you get angry when someone doubts you and you get mad at that person. Even though worse, you know, I tell my kids all the time, you know. You know, someone says something, you better test it and find out if it's true. You know, hold fast to that's what's true. Get rid of that which isn't. Quick. I'm gonna move. I just looked at my clock. I didn't realize what time it was, and I'm gonna have to move like down several verses. So I want to get all the way down to verse 16. Okay. There's security in being a Christian because God has promised us that we're His children, and as His children, we're heirs of His promises. And since I accidentally closed my Bible, will someone read verses 16 and 17 really loud? Isn't that cool? How many of you even know blended families where, I mean, Jackie deals with this all the time, where she has, you know, wealthy clients and they'll get remarried and there'll be a second set of kids and there's always trouble between the original kids and the stepkids. You ever seen that in life? You ever run into that? That's just, it's there. You know, it happens all the time. Maybe it's not the right vernacular, but we're at best we're stepkids, you know, to Jesus. Except we're not. God said, You're my children and you're heirs with Christ. That's cool. There's security in being a Christian because that's the God that we serve. Verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. There's security in being a Christian because our needs are known to God. And not only are they known, I think this verse is telling me He makes sure He knows them. You know, you ever feel that way when you're dealing with people that I don't want to know your problems? I felt that way. I hate to say it, I probably felt that way with my kids a few times too. I'm like, yeah, seriously. You know, Lindsay, I don't care that so-and-so broke up with you. I know you're hurting, but come on, it's life. Move on. Yeah, I know I'm not very sensitive, am I? You ever feel that way? That's not God, is it? Take your best day as a person. That moment when you were really a great person. And God's better than that every single day. He not only knows what you need, He cares what you need, and He seeks it out. And the Spirit intercedes for you when you can't express it. That's pretty cool, in my opinion. There's security in being a Christian because of that. You know, there's security in being Christian because at the end, we win. Verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. See, things work out for Christians. Now, here's the question. When do they work out? On God's time, right? They don't work out on our time. That's the hard part of the Christian thing there, right? We would love, and I think there's a... based upon the Sunday morning preachers I sometimes watch, or you know, sometimes I watch them on at night too because they're on at night. I think there's a movement of Christianity right now. There are people saying that things work out for Christians today here on earth. You know, you listen to them talk, you're supposed to get all these blessings here on earth, and I think we are blessed on earth. I think there's a big fallacy in that because you know here we are living in America. What about a Christian who lives in pick the poorest country on earth? So God loves us more than He loves them. That's why we have stuff and they don't. I think there's a fallacy with that, right? All things work together for good for Christians. When? When God's ready for them to. And you know when that day might be, guys? It might be the day you die, right? That might be the day it works out for you. And that's tough as humans, as physical beings, to deal with. But you know what? If you're going to have security as a Christian, you're going to be able to move forward, you have to believe it. You know, some of us in this auditorium, in this audience, have been more fortunate in life than others. We can't deny that. We're from different economic backgrounds, different social backgrounds, different racial backgrounds. We've all lived different lives. Every one of us has. Some of us in here are worried about paying the rent this week. Some of us are. Some of us in here are worried about, you know, what am I going to eat in the next few weeks? Some of us are worried about, you know, how do I make my credit card payment? Some of us are worried about things that are much smaller and more insignificant than that. We're different. There's one day that we're all exactly the same. All right? All the human, physical things end when it all works together for all of us. Whatever problem you got, the security of being a Christian is that problem, you know, even if it fails, even if you lose your house, you know, there's a lot of people who lost their houses recently and want to blame the banks. I'm sure people want to blame God for it. People are out there struggling with that type of stuff. You know, that's not a sign that God doesn't love you. Because let's be honest, in this country, we're the poorest of us in this country are still blessed beyond belief. You know, if you're really hungry, there's a family of God that's going to get you food. I guarantee you that. If we're willing to speak up and say something. That's another entire sermon about our lack of willingness to talk to each other sometimes about our needs. That's another one. But there's a family of God that's willing to help you out. Things work together for good. They may be on the day you die. But here on earth, they still work together for good. And sometimes that good is something bad happened to me and I met a person who I can talk to about God. That's great. We don't count that as good in the way we're taught in our lives as physical beings, as humans trying to make it be successful on earth. But sometimes that's the good thing that might happen, right? I mean, there's a lot of good things that can happen. So the security of being a Christian, because at the end, I think we win. So Paul goes on here and starts in verse 31, and we'd had time, we'd have read just about everything, but Paul goes on and he asks a few questions here, so I'm going to start reading in verse 31, and as I read, I just want you to consider these questions that Paul's asked. Paul says, "What do we say to these things then? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? So how do you answer those questions? Those may be what are called rhetorical questions, right? But how do you answer them? What do you say to these things? That's the first question. What do you say? As a Christian, you read Romans, and you read about being given a new law, a law that's of spirit, that's not of flesh. You read about the fact that there's a spirit who intercedes for you. You read about the fact that good things happen to Christians, that things work out for good. What do you say to these things? I don't want it to be rhetorical. I'd like someone to answer. How does it make you feel? Let me ask you that question. How does it make you feel when you read these things? Makes you feel thankful. What'd you say, Dirk? Grateful. I heard the word I wanted to hear. The secure. Does it make you feel a little bit secure? Read that last verse again. I want to read it again. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Let's go to verse 38 just to continue that thought. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God. Amen. What's missing from the list? Oh, there's one thing missing. Yourself. I am convinced that no power on this earth, I don't care how bad it gets, guys, I don't care what happens to your car, your family, your house, your food, I don't care if you go to the doctor and you find out you've got cancer, because that happens to people here on earth, right? That happens. We get sick. Our loved ones die. None of that separates you from the love of God, because at the end we win. One thing not on that list. I didn't want to point to you. That'd be rude, wouldn't it? Me. I'm not on that list. We read 1 Peter 1:5. I said there's a conditional word in there, right? What was the conditional word? Faith. What's Romans 8, chapter 1? Chapter 8, verse 1. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know what? A lot of people will read these verses and say, look, there's nothing we can do to be separated from God. Nothing. You know, they're wrong. I'm not a big boxing fan. Do you remember Mike Tyson? When I was in high school, I loved Mike Tyson, man. He was bad. Remember that? Who was that? Leonard Spinks? Was that the fight? He knocked a guy in like 57 seconds in the first round in a championship fight. It was vicious. Leon Spinks. It was vicious. I mean, wow. Did y'all see that Buster Douglas fight? Yeah, he lost that, right? Why'd he lose it? Let me tell you about what happened to me at Flow Sun. I said I didn't let you answer. Remember I told you I got fired off the count? You know why I got fired off the count? Because I got cocky. Yep, I'm on the largest account in the firm. I'm bad. I'm the best tax manager the firm's got. I don't have to worry about anything. I am good at my job. Yeah, buddy. Look at what I did. I play golf twice a week, that's right, with the partner, with the OMP of the office. Woo-hoo! I was good. Yeah, I got my comeuppance, didn't I? I was fooling everybody except the client. You know, I substituted my priorities for the client's priorities. Yeah, they didn't like me too much. fired. Thought I was going to get fired from my job. Didn't sleep for 2 weeks. You know why? You know why Mike Tyson lost to Buster Douglas? Because he didn't think he could. Right? You know why I got fired off of Flosun? Because I got the big head. Right? Oh, I wasn't saying the name. If I didn't know it's Flosun by now, it's too late. What's going to happen as a Christian? See, there are fundamental things you got to do in life to be successful, right? Do you agree with that? There's that basic hierarchy of needs we talked about at the beginning. There's fundamental things. There's fundamental things you have to do as a Christian to have Christian security. And if you don't do those, what happens? You lose security. So I think it's important for us to know how secure we can be as Christians, because it's a wonderful feeling. That sense of security, that ability to know that God loves me and loves me that much, and it is just, it allows you to move forward in life. If you paralyze yourself worrying about where you are, you don't move forward. Well, Paul says, nothing can separate me from all this stuff. Except the one thing that's not on the list, and that's you, right? So what do you have to do? Get rid of what?
Iitis.
Get rid of iitis.
Me.
Hey, is it just me? Or do we live in a self-centered society? Has anybody noticed that besides me? Is that new?
Yeah.
Is that recent?
We were speaking about the sin. It was all about them.
Yeah, I don't know anyone. I don't know anyone like that. You know what? I drive a lot. So I think driving is a good... You can see how people really believe about themselves as they drive.
Yep.
You know, I never honk my horn. I have a whole bunch of reasons I don't honk it. My wife and I fought about honking the horn because she likes to honk the horn. She reaches over and honks my horn, and it just makes me so angry. I don't honk my horn because I think people should be able to make mistakes, right? People, it's not intentional. I don't like rude people, and that bothers me. But even then, all that honking does is creates more anger. But people are waiting to honk at you. Have you ever noticed that? They'll like tease you into pulling over in front of them just so they can honk at you. I know they do that because I do it, but I don't honk. But I tease them over so I can speed up and cut them off, right? I try not to do that, but I can't help myself sometimes. So there is a society of iitis. We're all about ourselves, okay? But we have to be careful with that when it comes to Christianity. The parable of the sower, right? He sowed all the seed on these different types of ground. I won't talk about the one type of ground I think we should be concerned about. You know, that's the type where the seed took root and it grew, and then the thorns came up and choked it out, right? See, those are people who believed and then got so caught up in everything else that they lost their belief. See, brethren, we can fall away. We can lose. Christian security is amazing. How great is it to be able to live your life no matter what happens, knowing that nothing separates you from the love of God, that in the end we win? Whatever that end is, we win. That's a sense of relief. You know, whatever news you get, you deal with it because you have to deal with it. We're humans, we're living here, but you sit in the back of your head going, I'm going to win at the end of this thing. This is about a vapor that's going to vanish away, and I'm going to win because I'm living as a Christian. But you get arrogant. You forget the fundamentals. You forget what the things God asks you to do are. You get so secure, you can fall away. You can get caught up into things. That's the worry we need to have as a Christian. Our security worry doesn't need to be in the security of the God who promises all these things. Our worry, but we don't want to worry, that's a sin. Our concern, what we need to focus on, is making sure we as Christians continue to do the fundamentals that keep us secure, because that security is for people who are in Christ. That security is for people who have faith. That security is for people who are the chosen. So I was going to read Colossians 3, 1 through 17, but I think I'm out of time. So here's your homework for this afternoon. Go read Colossians chapter 3. It's a good passage about things we as Christians need to do, need to not do, a lot of them actually. Spend some time reading about it and thinking about it. And I was going to wrap up with just a little thing I always tell myself. Life is hard. Christianity isn't. God made a simple religion for us to follow. He could have made it as difficult as possible. And he's a God who loves us so much that he made it simple. If we'll take the time to read and understand, we can live a life of security as Christians. It's not difficult. It's not something you've got to be a PhD or a theologist to understand. You can get to heaven with the Bible you got in your lap right now if you take the time to study. Life's hard. You're going to struggle. We all are. Wherever we are, socially, economically, you know, from an education standpoint, we're all going to have different struggles. And if you look at someone else across the aisle and you think they've got so much more than I have and therefore they're not struggling, you're wrong. They're struggling. Every one of us struggles in life. Christianity's simple. It makes it all better. Let's live a life of security in Christianity by doing the fundamentals and moving beyond that and becoming teachers and doers and servants. And then life has a lot of purpose and meaning. And all the other stuff, we win at the end. And I'm out of time, so I'm going to stop talking. Thank you for your attention.